afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, September 19th, 2022. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
I hope you had a good weekend.
I did.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Was there
glad
a weekend?
To hear that.
Was there a weekend?
Yeah, really. Was there a weekend? Huh. Yeah, well, that lasted from midnight Friday night till I think an hour later, Monday again. But anyway.
But you know what? I think you should just do Monday shows, and that way you'd give me a 3-day weekend from the program.
Oh, and then you could do mine. I could take a 3-day weekend too, right?
Maybe.
There you go. That way I might work out.
Maybe.
Well, thank goodness we had a weekend. We're still alive today on Monday. That's a good start.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So let's go ahead and I'm not so sure gold was alive today, but it has some, you know, it had some good points. 1,675, down a buck. We had a low of 1,662, so not a bad day. Silver had the same kind of day. We're still at 1,959. Down 10 cents. Platinum was up 14 at 930. Palladium was up 91, almost 4.5%, 2,308. USDX today was over 110 early today. We were looking at 109.62 right now, down 0.2. Crude oil was up 36 cents at 85.47. Paper markets today, the Dow was up 197 points at 31,019. S&P was up 26 at 3,899. The NASDAQ was up 86 at 11,535. Asia was all negative. The biggest downturner there was the Nikkei. Europe, the FTSE was lower. France was lower. Germany was higher. So, we know nobody in the UK is working today. 10-year yield was as high as 3.51. I'm looking at 3.49 right now, and it's the highest on the 10-year yield since 2011. And you know what's interesting is in 2011 we were having gold at 2,000 back then, almost over 1,900 anyway. And, you know, everybody thought at that point in time that the U.S. dollar was going to be replaced. But the dollar was tanking at the same time that yield. So it's interesting to see you can have the same numbers, but just different. And we were past the Great Recession at that time. We were kind of coming out of it a little bit, not a whole lot, but you know, the dollar was at the weakest and everything was really happening in the monetary. So it takes time for these things to all catch up to one another. And things are really different. You know, people go back to, you know, when our inflation was higher in the 80s and in 70s and so forth. And, you know, gold was the hedge against inflation and things have changed. So gold doesn't get the same knee-jerk reaction immediately off numbers that get posted. It truly is tied to the U.S. dollar in today's world, and it's but it will reverse. It really is that simple. It will reverse because nothing changes. It only gets worse as far as every other, you know, program and everything out there. I was reading today that they're beginning to funnel more money into the aftermarkets. So, oh, yeah, we're cutting back maybe on some things, but, hey, we'll keep this part quiet that where they need to, the repo market, they have to start funneling more money into that. So, you know, they only tell you what they want you to know. And so that was pretty much the news of the day. I think everybody has been watching the funeral in England. And, you know, I did watch a little bit of the church part, Butch, of the funeral, only because it's so beautiful. And I don't judge, I don't know if it's right or wrong and so forth, but the church is beautiful. The listening to the music is beautiful, the choir, the songs, you know, it was, you know, such an such an event for them over there, and you know, I'm not supporting it one way or another, but I thought the church and just this, just kind of see people openly praising God, Jesus Christ, is to where it's almost taboo in this country. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, I didn't watch any of the ceremony or the funeral at all. I read some about it, of course, but I didn't follow very much. I was amazed that some people, well, most people lined up for hours just to walk by the casket.
Yeah,
some people
days.
Were glad. Some people were glad that she passed away. So it was just a mess. But nonetheless, I'm anxious to see what Charles III is going to do now, because he has some very liberal green ideas. What's he going to try to bring in? You know, is interesting. Something to see.
Well, I mean, I agree. I agree with that. But I was just and I was keeping politics out of there with no comments, whether you know, yay or nay on you know how they run their country and so forth. But it was just as far as inside. You know, the church, Westminster Abbey, I was there, and it looked more grander on TV than, you know, that I recall. So, again, I was, you know, and I, you know, we went around in there and so forth. You know, we didn't see we kind of saw the changing of the guards at a distance, but when we were there, we had a private tour guide, and he took us to the back where the guys who do the changing of the guards, they actually have a band, and he took us to where the band actually came out and practiced, and then we marched with the band to the
floor. Oh, wow.
So it was interesting and fun, but you know, again, politics on the side, you know, there was no politics involved, and it was just a good time, interesting time, and but it was nice to see God mentioned, Jesus Christ mentioned.
It is, and that lady certainly had a long, long life on the throne, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, she went through a lot of ups and downs in her country. And say what you will, she's been around for a long time. Like to believe she did some good things for the folks. But, again, I'm not too much involved in politics in England. I don't know much about it. But, yeah, it was what I could see online was a very grandiose ceremony, put it that way.
Very much so.
So, yes.
That's why I didn't watch I only watched the inside the church part, you know, because I like to listen to the organs and music and stuff. But anyway, let's move on.
Really? Okay. Good for you.
Sure. I love the old traditional services and so forth. So let's move on.
Well, how about that? Well, you want to move on some news
sure.
now?
Sure.
I think this is really telling, and I will mention this very quickly, too. I live just a few minutes from the Somerville Dam. It's the largest earthen dam on the East Coast. And I drove by today, and I saw something really kind of broke my heart. You know what it was? I guess you
what?
Won't know. They're draining the dam. That means it falls here. They filled in the spring and drained the fall. And I thought, oh, it can't be over already. But it is. It is. Fall's here. And like your lumpet, here we go. And when fall is here, it means we're getting closer to the so-called holidays. Am I right on that?
You're correct on that.
Well, apparently Walmart and some other big retailers see something we don't see yet. Why are Walmart and other major U.S. retailers canceling billions of dollars in orders as summer comes to an end? Do they know something that they aren't telling us? As you will see below, Walmart, Target, and other major U.S. retailers are literally counseling billions of dollars in orders ahead of coming holiday season. That does seem strange, Mel. It really does, because usually that's when they make their biggest buck. You know that. I have never heard of such things happening before, and under normal conditions, it wouldn't make any sense at all. The holiday season is typically the busiest time of the year for retailers. At this time in 2021, there was actually a great deal of concern that there wouldn't be enough inventory due to global supply chain problems. But now everything has changed. All of a sudden, major retailers are feverishly canceling orders, and this would only make sense if a severe economic downturn was imminent. Well, this is not the article here, but I have been hearing different things coming in different sources about what's going to happen maybe this year financially, and I certainly am not a prognosticator in that type of information, but it looks like things are happening kind of odd. For example, Walmart is admitting that it's canceled billions of dollars in orders as we approach the upcoming holiday season. John David Rainey, Walmart's EVP and CFO, said it had cleared most summer inventory, was reducing exposure in electronics, home and sporting goods, and canceled billions of dollars in orders to realign inventories. He said our actions in Q3 will allow us to make significant progress toward rationalizing absolute levels of mix, which will enable our stores to be well positioned ahead of the holiday season. It's extremely odd that Walmart would decide to do such a thing. Recently, I had an opportunity to stroll through Walmart, and there were plenty of inventory holes. Meanwhile, we just learned that Target has also canceled more than 1.5 billion in orders. Target said it reduced its inventory exposure in discretionary categories throughout Q2 by canceling more than 1.5 billion of orders in those categories and marking down products. Target is much smaller than Walmart, and so far, for Target to cancel out so many orders is really a big deal. And it turns out that Kohl's and Under Armour have also been canceling large numbers of orders as well. Kohl's has also pulled back on order receipts and increased promotions to get through an inventory glut. We have taken action to address inventory, including increasing promotions, being aggressive on clearing excess inventory, and pulling back on receipts, said Kohl's CFO Jill Timm in a call with investors. Melly, that is kind of odd. Usually this time of year, getting in October, they're starting to gear up for the holidays and trying to, you know, they're putting back things they think are going to be popular and going to move out very quickly, make some money on, but they're cutting back. Do you think there's something there out there that maybe they see we don't know?
Well, you know what's interesting? It was always my idea that, you know, everything that they were going to get for the holidays by this time of the year was already bought and purchased. So what's interesting is maybe the supply chains, maybe they're not filling those orders, and those are some of the orders that are being canceled. In addition to, they're not stocking up for next year, for January, February, and March. So that could all equal up to like a, you know, a double whammy, so to speak. So they're looking more at a longer term than just this Christmas season. So yeah, it just goes to show you that there's real problems. It could still be part of the delivery system. It could be, you know, they're not expecting a good holiday. Well, they can't expect a good holiday, not with these rates as high as they are. You know, by Christmas, you know, if they go to 3, you know, they're already 10 years already at 10.5. He raises it another basis point. I mean, it's going to, or a full percentage point. You're looking at, you know, 4. Home mortgages will be 6.5 to 7. So, yeah, well, 6.5. That'll put a damper on anybody's pocketbook.
Absolutely. Well, this sounds ominous to me because I've been around a few years now, and I've always known when I kept up a little bit with the economy that major retailers store up or stock up best they can now for what they think might be hot in Christmas time and holiday time. So for it to cut back for whatever reason, I do believe it's something, because they surely have their pulse on the economy because they're watching what people buy and don't buy. And as you already know, people, as it's been mentioned before, they're buying necessities from Walmart and other stores. They're not buying luxuries like computers and other things that they used to buy. They're trying to stock, trying to buy food and keep up with the food. So this is maybe a sign of an economy that's starting to really unwind. I guess time will tell us, won't it?
It certainly will. And, yes, it's telling us that people don't have the money. You know, rates are going up. Their credit card rates are going to be going up. Any loan they take out is going to be going up. Anybody on adjustable rates, money, you know, payments are going to be going up. Absolutely.
And with everybody cutting back and tightening their belts, so to speak, I see this again. And White House announces massive $10 billion aid package for Jordan. The Biden administration rolled out a new assistance agreement with Jordan. Washington will send Amman $10.15 billion over the next 7 years. The new deal will make Jordan the third largest recipient of American aid, following only Ukraine and Israel. The White House signed a new memorandum of understanding on Friday. The Biden administration first discussed a new agreement with Jordan on the sidelines of the Jeddah summit in July. The memorandum of understanding is the largest aid package the U.S. has ever signed with Amman. Jordanian officials celebrated the aid and claimed it's essential. It's an extremely important MOU. It speaks to the strong friendships the two countries have. Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi said. He added the U.S. is going above and beyond for Jordan. We have people are not making it in this country, and we're shipping money overseas it's nothing. But we're shipping overseas by the billions and the trillions of dollars. We have people here that are losing their homes, being kicked out of their apartments, they can't buy food. Melody, what is wrong with this country? I mean, they're shipping money out here that we have to stand good for. They shouldn't be supporting, they shouldn't be in welfare, they shouldn't be helping anybody, especially other nations. They shouldn't even be having welfare systems in our country, but they do. But if they're going to have welfare systems, why don't take care of their own people first?
I know.
Does that kind of get you a little bit irked?
A little bit.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, I know people right now, they're struggling right now to put food on the table. I know them personally. They're struggling just to buy dinner this evening. I know because they asked me if they brought enough money to buy some food for this evening. I'm serious. And this in 10 billion to Jordan? Wow. Mm-mm-mm-mm. And another thing is hitting business pretty hard. Organized retail crime reaching crisis scale. We watched this grow over the last 2 or 3 years, unbelievably. The massive wave of retail thefts in the United States over the past 2 years have become a major challenge for both the retail industry and law enforcement. Weakened law enforcement policies and lesser penalties for these criminal bandit gangs have hit a critical junction as crime in the United States has hit proportions not seen in 3 decades. The number of increasing professional organized retail crime rings and their frequent attacks have reached crisis scale, according to National Retail Federation September 14th report. These crimes have hurt thousands of businesses and have contributed to higher prices for consumers and loss of key retailers in many communities as countless stores have closed due to the lack of security. The factors contributed to retail shrink have multiplied in recent years, and organized retail crime is burgeoning threat within the retail industry, said Mark Meadows, NRF Vice President for Research, Development, and Industry Analysis. These highly sophisticated criminal rings jeopardize employee and customer safety and disrupt store operations. Retailers are bolstering security efforts to counteract these increasingly dangerous and aggressive crimes. Well, guess who's paying for that? I mean, yeah, we have to. They raise prices to make up for the lost goods. We have to pay for the security. We got to pay for that also because crime is out of control because punishment has become almost nothing with these liberal cities. Almost nothing. And I'm not making up, folks. Almost nothing. We're paying for the lack of morality and the lack of discipline in society. When the law is not enforced, folks, things get worse and worse and worse. And we're seeing it everywhere. Defunding police, like in Seattle, and the place is falling apart. Well, that's what you get what you pay for, so to speak.
And we're falling out of time. We're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Lost my radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Butch.
Yes, ma'am.
Now we're falling back into time.
Yeah, I was falling out of time. I was, hey, that's okay. Whatever you say.
Well, we were falling out. I'll go along with you. We had to go into break.
Yeah, okay.
Sure, the listeners got what I was trying to.
Most people say run out of time, but if you want to say falling out of time, out of the
well, it was
okay.
Only because you
it's
said
your
falling.
Program. It's
so
your,
I picked
your
it up.
Program.
I was trying to do a segue.
Okay. All right. Oh, golly. Hey, we know about the supposedly the strike for the railroads was averted. But apparently it isn't all settled yet. I guess did you hear about that?
Yeah, they still the workers still have to approve it, right?
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I thought the way they talked last week that it was already done, that they voted on it, and it was already settled, but no. Deal averting railroad
strike.
They're
getting an incredible package. They'd be stupid if they didn't do it.
Oh, they're getting a huge package. I mean, it's really amazing. It says, deal averting railroad strike has potential to fall apart. The White House brokered agreement to avert a railroad strike has the potential to fall apart, threatening widespread economic disruption right before the midterm elections, which I don't think is going to happen, folks. I think they're going to get it fixed before midterm elections. I do believe they will. Rail workers are set to vote on the tentative deal reached between unions and railroads Thursday morning. If any of the 12 rail unions fail to ratify a new contract, nearly 125,000 rail workers could be headed for a strike. The agreement would mandate two-person crews, cap health care costs, and allow workers to take time off for medical appointments or other scheduled events without being penalized. So, folks, they got 24% pay raise over the next few years. They did pretty well. And, of course, 24% won't keep up with inflation, but it's not bad. So I thought in my naivete that this is all settled, but it isn't. We will see what happens, and if the railroads do go on strike, it will cripple transportation more than I think we realize sometimes. But I guess we'll know this Thursday for sure. But I really did think it was settled. I thought to come to an agreement, and everybody was tickled with the deal. But we'll see. Melody, if the railroad does shut down and shuts off over 25% of the shipping ability in this country, and the truckers can't make up the difference, it's going to be a huge hit, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think they'll get it done. I mean, like I said, they'd be stupid if they didn't do it. I mean, that was a nice package. I mean, what else do they want? Someone to work from home?
Run the choo-choo from home, okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of office people, too, I'm sure. But I don't know. I mean, when you think of inflation and the cost of everything, I don't know. So you would think they would go through with it. I mean, workers pretty much have to go along with the union, so.
Well, we'll see, I guess. I mean, I thought it was over, but I guess it wasn't. We will see what happens. Unless they really want an economic downturn, I think this will go through. I do. I mean, I agree with
you.
It'll
go through.
I mean, I think it will.
Yes, it will.
And we're watching, we just got that to read about the retail stores being hammered with crime. I mean, huge. In the last couple of years, folks, it's all broke loose. Ever since the defund the police movement started, and I keep saying I hate to use the word liberal, but I don't want us to use them. They say idiots, but we'll say liberals. Go out, take over cities and councils and powers and authority, and they try to make crime do much softer punishments on crime and let these criminals just walk the streets. Well, that's what we're seeing. Well, now, crisis of crimes, New Orleans becomes murder capital of America. Now, I was in New Orleans many, many, many years ago when I was in the Air Force Station in Bluffs, Mississippi. I went to, one night down to the Mardi Gras. That's back in the late 60s. That was 67, 68. That was something to see even back then. It was almost kind of scary, to tell you the truth, but it was something to see. But New Orleans has apparently become a place of pretty much of lawlessness. Progressives in top city leadership positions have helped transform New Orleans into the murder capital of America. Now, I know that we're progressives. That's what I call liberals. But anyway, WSJ reported the Louisiana city on Mississippi River near the Gulf Mexico recorded the highest homicide rate of any major city so far this year, with 41 homicides per 100,000 residents. Metropolitan Crime Commission Incorporated, a nonprofit that works on crime-reducing strategies in the city, said the homicide rate is up 141%, folks, compared with the same period in 2019. 3 years, up 141%. It pointed out carjackings are up 210%, shootings 100%, and armed robberies 25%. Gee. The homicide rate is on pace to surpass last year's rate, which was the worst since Hurricane Katrina in 2005. The city's alarming spike in the homicide rate comes at the same time as progressive prosecutor Jason Williams became the district attorney of the metro area in early 21. He promised a more selective approach to prosecutions that goes beyond punishment. Okay. Obviously, Mr. Williams, it's not working too well. Homicide rate up 141%, carjackings up 210%, shootings up 100%, armed robberies up 25%. Obviously, Mr. Williams, your idea is not flying too well. You might want to reconsider how to handle criminals. As long as you keep slapping on the wrist and turning loose, the cops are going to become discouraged. I just talked to a gentleman the other day, a friend of mine who's also a policeman. He said it is frustrating. We catch them, turn them in, and they're out on the street the next day. Or they never go to jail at all. We catch them doing drugs, they fine them. They don't pay their fines, but they send them home anyway. This is America's idea of punishment, and if you read Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, you see what happens when the people do not punish crime quickly. You read in the Bible what it says happens. Same thing's happening right here. So this is interesting to see that when a criminal wants to be a criminal, folks, being nice to him doesn't change his mind. It's okay if you can rehabilitate him and help him, that's all well and good. But how many times must he be caught doing the same thing over and over before you say enough is enough? Melody, any comments on that?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. But again, this is the times that we're living in, and big question is, how is it going to change?
I don't see an end to it right now. I really don't. I just don't see an end to it. And if things get worse financially, which we know they're going to, I think that would produce a lot more crime. Because even people who would say are decent people, when they get hungry, would do desperate things. Am I right?
True.
So, I'm afraid America is unraveling before our very eyes. Now, this next article, I don't think should be surprising to any of us that listen to Melody's program. Venezuela empties prisons, sends violent criminals to U.S. border. Says DHS report. What a good way, Mel, to get rid of your criminals. Ship them to some other country.
Ship them to the U.S. We take everybody.
Yeah, we take anybody.
Open borders.
This USA. This has come right out. The Department of Homeland Security actually admits this is going on. But the border's still wide open. A recent Department of Homeland Security intelligence report received by the Border Patrol instructs agents to look for Venezuelan inmates released from entering the U.S., according to a source of GBP. The report, reviewed by Breitbart Texas, indicates the Venezuelan government, under the leadership of Nicolas Maduro Moros, is purposely freeing inmates, including some convicted of murder, rape, and extortion. The intelligence report warns agents the freed prisoners have been seen within migrant caravans traveling from Tapachula, Mexico, toward the U.S. border, U.S.-Mexico border, as recently as July. The source, not authorized to speak to the media, told Breitbart, Texas, the move is reminiscent of a similar action taken by Cuban dictator Fidel Castro during the Mariel boat lift in the 1980s. No, folks, this is not the first time this has happened to this country. It's just gotten worse over the years. As America become more, more lax in government as far as morals in government and dedication to duty to preserve and protect the country with our leaders, we watch this nation become more and more undermined with all this type of insanity and deliberate destruction of our country. Why would any nation knowingly allow illegals in the country? So they don't know. Yeah, they do know, folks. They do know. They do know. What was that big thing under Obama that caught him doing shipping drugs to Mexico? Guns to Mexico, gangs to Mexico to bring back. What was the name of that again, Mel? Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was the Fast and Furious type.
Yes. This ain't anything new, folks. It's just getting worse. And these people, these gangs are coming in that are truly armed. And don't tell me the Venezuelan criminals are coming here because they wanted to do good in our country. They couldn't do it in their country. They're going to come here and be model citizens. They're going to come here legally, become a citizen, and be productive citizens of this society. You don't believe that either. And I know you don't. How could you? It's impossible. I mean, no one could be that ignorant. It's impossible to believe that. They're coming here because they think they got a better way to live here, and they do. Criminals here are punished pretty well. At best, they get put into a country club for a few years.
Can't blame them, Butch.
No, you can't.
You
know? No, you can't.
I mean, they get up here, they get free, they get to stay in a nice hotel, they get money, they get this, they get shipped all anywhere they want to go in this country, and then they get shipped to Martha's Vineyards. That's a pretty nice place to go. I mean, if Italy opens its stores and so forth, I might go. You know, hey, if they give me a weekly paycheck and, you know, jeez.
Oh, my.
But no other country in the world does it.
And I was going to say, we're the only country.
Well, Germany did for a long time. Germany did for a while.
And it's cost them, too, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It has.
Cost them a lot. They lost their country, so to speak. And, folks, we are losing our country every day. We're losing our
culture.
Same
way with France. Look at all the problems France has.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I was in France, Paris, briefly one time. And, I mean, what I got to see was a beautiful city. I can't imagine what it looks like right now. Just like it did when in San Francisco when I was back in the 60s. It was a beautiful city. Now you watch the videos of some of the places I did see when I was there are full of homeless, druggies, fights right in the streets, trash everywhere. That's happened in the last 50 years. This didn't happen over a 200-year period. This happened the last 50 years. San Francisco went from a beautiful city into a sewer, so to speak. And that's just
actually,
what's
happened.
A lot
of it happened in the last 20.
It did. It did. It truly did. And yet, now we're seeing the Venezuela's going to ship us over their murderers and rapists. Why not? Why not? Welcome, folks. And bless Ron DeSantis' heart. You know, a lot of people may not like him. And I don't know the agree with everything he's done. I know I wouldn't. But I do like his guts. For what he stands up for and what he's done in the way of trying to change some moral decadence in his state. Well, Ron DeSantis vowed more migrant flights to Martha's Vineyard. He says, just the beginning. Bless his heart. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is promising more flights packed with illegal aliens will be sent to Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, and other liberal enclaves. During a press conference last week, DeSantis vowed to Floridians that he will send more flights of illegal aliens to the homes of the Democrat Party wealthiest communities. Now we see in New York and D.C., they used to beat their chest when Trump was in office, saying they are sanctuary jurisdictions, DeSantis said. Then the minute Texas starts busing there, they get very bent out of shape about it. These are just the beginning efforts, DeSantis continued. We got an infrastructure in place now. There's going to be a lot more that's happening. I say, amen. Amen. Why should he in Texas and Florida, Arizona, and other countries, states, why should they have to be chained with this mess? Why not pass on to the ones that allow it? Good for them. I have no problem with that. I wish I could shake his hand, thank him for his stand, because whenever the people that caused this mess have to start being responsible for some of it, maybe we'll see things change. I doubt it, but maybe we will. They called in the National Guard last time to Martha's Vineyard and had the people put in on a military base. They took them out, folks, took them out of Martha's Vineyard and put them in a military base. Those people cried like spoiled children that lost their candy bar. You can watch online, whining and complaining. It's unbelievable. But it's okay when these storm eagle past Texas. No big deal. No biggie. People have to lock their houses at night and keep themselves armed at night and even their businesses because they're being robbed and harangued and threatened. I mean, that's in Texas. That's not Martha's Vineyard. That's the problem. We need to ship more up there so they understand what they're going through. In comments, not building.
No.
I mean, I don't feel sorry for them at all, Melody. Martha's Vineyard got what they asked for, and they're going to get some more. And the problem,
well, you know, the funny thing about it is, and you know, I mean, they're also wealthy there. I mean, all, you know, they could slap out $50,000 a person who lives with people, and you know, and you know, they were saying that they didn't have the, you know, they didn't have the services available to that, you know, to provide. Well, you know what? Yeah, what you guys are not creative enough to do, and it really is funny because they were quiet as ghosts, you know, the liberals and those people who are all for immigration. They were quiet as a ghost until it happened in their backyard, you know, and it's, and then everybody, the media and everybody, oh, it's kidnapping, taking them to Martha, taking them somewhere they don't know, and they don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they want to go there? It's beautiful.
I don't know. This is just unbelievably phenomenal. We watch these people. They really start whining when they get put up with themselves. But it's just amazing to me that the cockiness of these people, the disdain they have for people, and we'll say in other communities like Texas and the Eagle Pass, Texas, where they overran. They don't care about them. Mm-hmm. As long as they have their plush mansions, and Obama just $12 million mansion there, you know, why worry about anybody else? I mean, as long as we get it made, let the rest of them suffer.
Yep.
That's the way it is, folks. You have to like it or not, but that's the way it is. It seems like the people in Texas are getting mad, and in Arizona, all through there, God bless them. I'm glad they're getting mad. I'm glad they're doing something about it, and may God bless Ron DeSantis for his stand. I really appreciate that man doing that.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, now give me a good break in a second, so I'll let you take us out.
Are we falling into a break here, too?
Falling out of time again.
We're falling into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom here with Pastor Butch Paul. And where are we going here? Where are we going Butch?
Let's go to Paris.
Want to go to Paris?
Let's go to Paris. I've been there for a long time.
The architecture in, like, you know, it's just so beautiful, you know, so old, you know, they have something. I mean, America's only 250 years old, but I just love going through their churches and, you know, it's, I love architecture.
I was there in the 60s, of course. I was there, in the 60s. I was flying to Crete, Greece, and we flew into Paris. And I remember flying over the homes that you see down in the countryside, and that looked like thatched roofs. I mean, I'm sure they weren't made out of grass, but they looked like, just like they did back, you know, you picture and look in Paris, the cobblestone, the stone walls, whatever, the fences. And England was not the same way. It was very pretty flying over those towns. I mean, the place really was. I just wonder what it's like today. But a dimmed Eiffel Tower, cooler pools, and sealed shops. How France is tackling the energy crisis. It is known as a city of light, but Paris will be dimming some of its monuments in response to the energy crisis. The Eiffel Tower is set to fall dark over an hour earlier under new energy sobriety plans announced by Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo, while the city council will be switching off its own grand home of Hotel de Ville from 10 p.m., an example to residents. It follows a raft of national measures from President Macron, who last week called for a 10% reduction in energy to avoid the risk of rationing this winter. Most of the country's energy comes from nuclear, but with half of the reactors currently offline, France is seeking alternative supplies, including electricity from Germany, which is facing a severe gas shortage after Russia stopped its supply. Well, France shut down the reactors to try to go green, and now they're trying to fire them back up. They should have thunk ahead a little bit, shouldn't they? And Germany can't afford electricity for themselves, so how are they going to supply it to France? Folks, this is a mess we got ourselves into. We followed some idiot's guideline to save the planet, and now we can't even run electricity in our homes. Something is dreadfully wrong with this picture, and I don't understand why we haven't caught on that, but now, some people are. I mean, Germany's trying to fire up everything, or even go back to coal. They put one of the worst polluters in the world is coal. But nonetheless, they're paying for their ignorance now. That's just the way it goes. Any comments on that, LD?
Nope. Nothing to say.
It's just a sad situation. And get this.
But you know what it is? It's all there. You're right. It's their bad decisions. It isn't that it was, you know, something that was a catastrophic event or something. It's government's bad, corrupt choices.
Yes, it is.
Decisions.
Yes, it is.
And people should be outraged.
Isn't Paris where they held the climate accords?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Oh, sweet revenge. But anyway, Biden warns Putin over nuclear and chemical weapons. I'm sure Biden is scared to death now. He won't sleep at all tonight. U.S. President Joe Biden warned Russian President Vladimir Putin not to use chemical and tactical nuclear weapons in his invasion of Ukraine, saying there will be consequential response. a consequential response. Don't. Biden said in a televised interview with U.S. broadcaster CBS that is due to air on Sunday night. It would change the face of war and like anything since World War II. Biden's warning comes after a surprise counteroffensive by Kiev put Russia forces in retreat in Ukraine's northeastern Kharkiv region. The U.S. on Thursday announced it would send $600 billion in military aid to Ukraine, with its contributions totaling $15.1 billion since the start of the war in February. Asked how the U.S. would respond if Putin were to be used chemical or tactical nuclear weapons, Biden said, it'll be consequential. They'll become more of a pariah in the world than they ever have been. Depending on the extent of what they do, will determine what response would occur. Wow. Okay. I'm sure that's got him shaking his boots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure it has. You know, I mean, I can't imagine a U.S. making that too many people cower in fear today. I mean, we were in Korea. That was a stalemate. We lost in Vietnam. We lost in Afghanistan. Why do you think we can tackle Russia? That makes any sense to me, does it? You?
No, it does not.
So, we'll see, folks. But, we're reading these things happening, and these are actually events that are going on. And there's many of them happening so fast, it's hard to keep up with them. But these things can't be inconsequential. There has to be something coming from this. Something is being built up, too. What it is, I don't know. Is Putin one of the players also as far as wanting this to happen for a purpose? Or is he really trying to be independent and run his country and take care of his borders? You tell me. I don't know. I've heard both ways. I don't know. But either way, we're building up something really huge here. War could escalate over Ukraine's terrorist attacks inside Russia, Putin warned. So here's Biden warning Putin. Here's Putin warning Ukraine. Russian Vladimir Putin on Friday warned that Russia could escalate its war in Ukraine in response to terrorist attacks against civilian infrastructure inside Russian territory. So apparently, Melody, Ukrainians have infiltrated Russia and are attacking inside their country.
Hmm.
That could go into something pretty rough pretty quick, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Putin has framed his invasion as a limited special military operation that could be upgraded into full-scale war. His government recently rejected calls to mobilize for war, but Putin seemed that there could be some sort of escalation. Indeed, we were quite restrained in our response, but that will not last forever, the Russian leader said at a press conference. Recently, Russian armed forces delivered a couple of sensitive blows in that area, Putin added, referring to Russian strikes in Ukrainian power infrastructure that came after Kyiv's Kharkiv counteroffensive. If the situation continues like that, a response will be more impactful. Terrorist attacks are a serious matter. Putin accused Ukraine of attempting to attack nuclear power plants inside Russia. We even see attempts to perpetrating terrorist attacks in the Russian Federation, including, I am not sure if this was made public, attempts to carry terrorist attacks near our nuclear facilities, nuclear power plants in the Russian Federation, he said. That could escalate something really big pretty quick.
It really could.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, coming inside the country is a pretty nasty move. And I would think that about any nation would be up in arms about that pretty quickly if they care for the people. And Melody, with all this unrest worldwide, all of it, not only affects supply chains and the so-called sanction on Russia, hasn't hurt Russia a whole lot. What's it done to Europe?
Well, I think it's hurt them, but I mean, it's not hurting them the way they thought it would hurt them.
It can't hurt them too much with companies.
Well, we're not hearing the stories because that's all. They don't want us to
They don't tell us what happened. But with countries like China and India buying energy from them, the two largest countries in the world, I mean, how much damage could we be doing to them if they're paying for that? I know. I mean, Europe is one that's going to pay for it. I mean, look at Germany and even France now. Europe's going to pay for the lack of energy this winter. And according to the Farmer's Almanac, we're in for a really tough winter. Not just here, but in Europe also. I mean, that's what the Farmer's Almanac is generally pretty much right on. So we will see. It could even affect us here, but we know we're in Europe. So what will people do in Europe whenever they can't keep their houses warm in Switzerland. If you heat your house over 62 degrees, whatever it was, you can be put in jail.
Yeah.
How long will people tolerate that, Melody?
I don't know. I wouldn't think for long.
You know, so, I mean, you know, 60 degrees, whatever it was, 62 degrees, whatever it was, that's pretty cold in the wintertime. It's pretty cold. In the summertime, during the night, cools off, feels pretty good. But to keep that temperature year-round when it's 30 below outside, that's pretty cold, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is.
So something to think about. Now, this is something that's interesting. We're seeing more wars breaking out, of course. Turkey is mobilizing 45,000 reserve troops toward Armenia border. Iran is mobilizing army with heavy armor to the same area. The eastern nations are starting to rise up again in big numbers. Wars are breaking out in 20 different places now. Skirmishes on the borders and maybe outright war. The attack by Azerbaijan against Armenia is already escalating very severely. The attack commenced on Tuesday. Yesterday, Iran began mobilizing troops to protect its border with Armenia and told Azerbaijan they will not tolerate a change in Armenian geography. Today, Turkey began moving 45,000 reserve troops because they support Azerbaijan and ran up the ante by commencing movement of heavy armor to back up its troops. Within days, the world could see the outbreak of another war. This is on the south side of Russia, which is precisely what NATO, the EU, and USA want, so as to create havoc and require Russia to fight two wars on two fronts.
Hmm.
How many times have we instigated wars all over the world, Melody? I mean, facts, not just theory.
One a year, probably.
We've done it so many times. The CIA has got involved in so many different governments to overthrow one and bring in another one, to bring in all kinds of chaos. We used to blame on Russia for overthrowing governments and usurping authority and causing people to uprise. No, folks. America's been doing it as longer, probably, and much more severely than Russia ever could. Now we see wars rising on Russia's borders. NATO, EU, and USA all wanted that. What a coincidence. Gee. And Russia's going to sit back and take it because you're scared of us, right?
Right.
Yeah. Gee whiz. I don't know. This is to show you how scared Putin is. Dramatic moment. Putin stages massive games near U.S. coast with 30 ships and nuke submarines in warning to West. Russia's armed forces have staged massive war games near the U.S. coast involving nuclear submarines. In the chilling show of force, missiles were pictured being fired in the drills close to the American state of Alaska as Vladimir Putin forces suffered a humiliating setback in Ukraine war. Missiles were fired at targets out to sea. Around 30 warships took part in exercises in the Barents and Lativ Seas, an area where Russia has stationed substantial military assets. Granite and Onyx missiles were seen being launched from the Northern Sea route, a strategic passage for shipping connecting Europe and the Pacific. The Russian Defense Ministry said the missiles hit a complex sea target, imitating a detachment of warships of a mock enemy at a distance of over 400 kilometers. And I sort of looked it up. That's something along 380 miles, I believe it is. If I'm wrong, correct me on that. Fears have recently been raised that Russia has significantly increased its military presence in the Arctic, with the murderous dictator looking to control trade routes and natural resources there. So now they're calling, of course, Putin a murderous dictator. I don't know. That's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black, in my opinion. But this is escalating all over the world, folks. Again, I keep saying this, Matthew 24 is being fulfilled. Wars and rumors of wars everywhere. And Melody, they're about everywhere, aren't they?
They are.
I mean, we have...
And they're both. There's wars and the rumors. So
oh,
they're,
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just not all rumors. They are very, it's very active.
And people say, well, what does it take to make a war? How many people have to be killed in a battle to make it a war? I mean, you tell me, is it one state getting involved or a whole nation getting involved? Is that war or is it not? I mean, what is a war? They didn't call Vietnam a war, but I lost friends over there. They were shot down. One shot down a helicopter, and one was shot blew up in a bomb. Mine went off. I lost friends there. So I would call that a war, Melody. What do you think? They're shooting each other, trying to kill each other. Would that be like a war?
What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So
what do they justify then to be a war? You know, they keep on carrying the thing of police action. No, it's not, folks. A war is a war is a war. And when people die for whatever reasons, that's a war. And I'll tell you this right now, both sides can't be right. Both sides can very likely be wrong. But they both can't be right. So what's happening here? Is America trying to instigate wars on Russia's borders? Yeah, I would say, if I were a betting man, Melody, I'll give 90% odds that they are. I really would, from what I've seen past it done by America. And we're done with the last minute or so. I'm going to let you just wrap it up, and I'll be quiet.
Yeah, because you got a little bit of a bad connection there somehow there. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But we got a minute left, so.
Okay. I just changed something. Sounding better now? Is it any better?
Well, you sounded fine. It was just kind of like cutting out. So, but it wasn't bad enough to say anything at that point.
All right.
So.
Okay. All right. We got about a minute left then. So what do you want to tell the folks?
You want me to tell the folks something? 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-3. Yeah, I've been doing this for a while, 27 years. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, you know, it's been hectic, and there's a lot of little truths out there being stretched when it comes to gold and silver. So just, you know, give me a call. I'd love to hear the stories. And we got some great prices out there. And so 1-800-375-4188. We're out of time. We're falling out of time. So until tomorrow, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.